KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 70 degrees. We look forward to be sunny and breezy today, a high near 88. Good morning, I'm Rick Hanson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, the Iowa West Foundation, headquartered in Council Bluffs, has announced the recipients of a shared $5.3 million in grants for the second quarter of 2013. The grants will be used to assist 30 nonprofit organizations and governmental entities with funding for area projects. Of the $5.3 million in grants announced today, $3.5 million was previously announced as a co-lead gift for a new YMCA in Council Bluffs. Philanthropist Charles E. Lakin also gave $3.5 million toward the project. The $16 million wellness facility is scheduled to open in the fall of 2015. The Iowa West Foundation also awarded second quarter grants to these area groups or organizations, and they include but are not limited to the Cass County, Iowa Conservation Department, $1,250 for equipment used for snowshoeing activities in local parks. The City of Clarinda, $25,000 for the construction of a mile-long multi-use community trail. The City of Griswold, $8,000 for new community welcome signs. City of Lewis received $7,400 for city park playground equipment. The Golden Hills Resource Conservation and Development received $14,500 to be used for a Mormon Trail-related inventory of historic sites in southwest Iowa. Also, the Pottawatomie County Veterans Affairs received $29,000 from the Iowa West Foundation for mediation services to address post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. Southwest Iowa Family Services Incorporated, Family Parent Education Programs in Fremont County and Page Counties received $10,000. The Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn received $10,000 from the foundation for the exterior restoration of a historic house in Elkhorn. And the Visiting Nurse Association of Pottawatomie County received $29,000 to help with its services for low-income first-time mothers. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Iowa Democratic Senator Tom Harkin has announced that six Iowa regional planning commissions and councils of government have received a total of $330,300 to update their comprehensive economic development strategies. Among them, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, or SWPCO, based in Atlantic, received $54,000 to serve Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Montgomery, Page, and Shelby counties. The funds were made through the U.S. Department of Commerce, or DOC's Economic Development Administration. Harkin is a senior member of the Senate Appropriation Committee that funds the DOC. Jack Hatch, Democratic gubernatorial candidate from Des Moines, will be at the Family Table Restaurant in Atlantic tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. for a meet and greet with Iowa voters. Currently an Iowa State Senator, Jack is the chair of the Senate Health and Human Services Budget Subcommittee. He also serves on the Economic Growth, Human Resources, State Government, Labor and Business Relations, and Appropriations Committees. During his legislative career, Hatch has been an advocate for health care reform, children and family services, small business development, and social and economic justice issues. He's also been actively engaged in recent years in the mental health redesign and this year in expanding health care access to lower-income Iowans. Tomorrow afternoon's event is open to the public. A man who has announced his candidacy for the U.S. Congress will be in Atlantic next week. Gabe De La Serta of Des Moines will speak and meet with the public at the Cass County Courthouse's basement meeting room beginning at 7 p.m. Tuesday, July the 16th. De La Serta will be available for questions and explain why he wants to run against Tom Latham, the current congressman for Iowa's 3rd District. De La Serta said he understands firsthand the hardships faced by the everyday Iowan, and he says he aspires to serve Congress to help solve those issues. He's currently a communications student at DMAC in Des Moines. De La Serta served as a Iowa political coordinator for the United Steelworkers Union during the 2012 campaign season. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey will reveal his 2014 election plans at a Saturday fundraiser. Northey said in a news release that he'll make the announcement at the annual fundraiser at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. He announced in May that he would not seek Iowa's open Senate seat next year, citing his preference to remain in his current role. Northey was one of several top-tier Iowa Republicans who declined to run for the seat after Democrat Senator Tom Harkin announced that he would not seek a sixth term. Northey is currently serving his second term as Ag Secretary. He was first elected in 2006. And here's a reminder from Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman. That is that nomination papers may be circulated now for the September 10th, 2013 school board elections here in Cass County. Nomination papers for offices to be filled in 2013 can be filed through August the 1st. All offices are for four-year terms. The list of offices scheduled to appear on the September 10th ballots can be found under this same story on the Community Hub on KJAN.com by clicking on the News tab. Officials at the Cass County Memorial Hospital report that Whitney Schaefer, registered nurse, was the recipient of the Cass County Health System's 2013 Health Careers Scholarship. Pat Markham, CEO, presented the award to Whitney, who currently works at CCMH. Whitney's a graduate of the CAM High School and received her associate's degree in nursing from Southwestern Community College. She's currently pursuing her Bachelor of Science in Nursing through the University of Iowa. Whitney Schaefer was also one of 14 recipients across the state selected to receive the Iowa Hospital Association's Iowa Hospital Education and Research Foundation Healthcare Careers Scholarship. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors chairman doesn't think on-duty sheriff's deputies should be allowed to attend their children's sporting events. Board Chairman Larry Clausen said in a memo Thursday the policy constitutes a blatant misuse of tax dollars. But the Sheriff Dave Drew said four sheriffs have let deputies attend family events during their one-hour lunches and can, as part of community policing, attend their kids' sporting events so long as the deputies leave if they're called away. The sheriff and Clausen have been arguing about Drew's efforts to expand the department's reserve deputies program. Republicans in the U.S. House have passed their own scaled-back version of the Farm Bill on Thursday without any of the nutrition programs that have been included in the legislation for the past 30 years. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Republican leaders thought the broader version of the Farm Bill with food stamps included would pass the House, but it failed in June. Yesterday, House Republicans presented about 20% of the original bill, just the stuff about federal farm policy, and the bill passed, but no Democrat voted for it. The White House threatens a veto. Congressman Bruce Braley, a Democrat from Waterloo, called it a fake farm bill and noted that more than 530 agricultural groups, including the Farm Bureau, opposed splitting the farm bill. Congressman Dave Loebsack, a Democrat from Iowa City, blasted Republicans for playing partisan games. Iowa's two Republican congressmen voted for the stripped-down bill, but both said they were disappointed with the process. Congressman Tom Latham, a Republican from Clive, said he was pleased the House was at least able to pass the agriculture portion. Congressman Steve King, a Republican from Kyron, celebrated policy in the bill that did pass, the policy that ends direct payments to farmers. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Current federal farm policy expires on September 30th. If Congress can't come up with a new farm bill, the 1949 law will go into effect and consumers could see prices spike for milk. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, George Zimmerman's defense attorneys have begun their closing arguments at his second-degree murder trial in Florida. Defense attorney Mark O'Meara began his last effort to convince six jurors that Zimmerman acted in self-defense when he fatally shot 17-year-old Trevon Martin last year. The jurors could begin deliberating later in the day. Yesterday, prosecutors made the case that Zimmerman assumed Martin was a criminal up to no good when he confronted him in his neighborhood. A scuffle followed, and Zimmerman fired his gun. National Security Agency leaker Edward Snowden is expected to meet at this hour with two prominent Russian human rights officials in Moscow. The officials say they received invitations to meet with Snowden at Moscow's international airport. Snowden is believed to have been stuck in the airport's transit zone since arriving from Hong Kong on June 23rd as he negotiates for asylum in another country. A big jump in gasoline prices pushed wholesale inflation up in June by the largest amount in 9 months, but underlying inflation showed only a modest gain. The Labor Department says wholesale prices rose 0.8% in June compared with May, when prices had risen 0.5%. It was the biggest gain since a 1% jump in September, and it was driven by a 7.2% surge in gasoline prices. The Vatican has frozen the assets of a Monsignor who was arrested in a money smuggling plot. The Monsignor is accused of plotting to bring $26 million into Italy aboard a private jet to avoid declaring it at customs. And astronomers have for the first time managed to determine the color of a planet outside the solar system. It's a blue gas giant some 63 light years away. Astronomers measured the amount of light reflected off the planet's surface as it eclipsed its host star. News time is 8:10.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness, social isolation,
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In our funeral announcements, Lewis Edwin Ed Myers, Jr., age 62, of Broomfield, Colorado, died July the 4th at his home in Colorado. Funeral services for Ed Myers, Jr. will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut, the Pauli Jones Funeral Home of Avoca in charge of arrangements. Owen J. Langenfeld, age 86, of Erling and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday in Erling. A massive Christian burial service for Owen Langenfeld will be today at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Donald Charles Peterson, age 93, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Donald Peterson will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with a Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic in charge of the arrangements. Deborah Fogelman Wesley, age 60, of Waterloo and formerly of Manning, died July the 3rd at the Allen Hospital in Waterloo. Funeral services for Deborah Fogelman Wesley will be today at 11 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Roger Hall, age 77, of Messina, died Wednesday at his home. Funeral services for Roger Hall will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. Kenneth Rabarchek, age 79, of Atlantic, died Wednesday in Spencer. Funeral services for Kenneth Rabarchek will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Timothy John Waters, age 67, of Melbourne, Colorado, and formerly of Messina, died July the 3rd. As per his wishes, his body was cremated. There will be no services, but a gathering of remembrance for Timothy John Waters will be held tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Cumberland Community Building, with a lunch provided. Elsie Paulson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Elsie Paulson will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Virginia Ann Kane, age 90, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home in Oakland. Funeral services for Virginia Ann Kane will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland Christian Church. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Keith Lee, age 78, of Coon Rapids, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Keith Lee are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. And David Williams, age 52, of Atlantic, passed away Thursday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Services for David Williams will be held at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic, with a date and time currently pending. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.